assemble that we are on this wonderful Lord's Day morning, and it's so good to see each one of you here this morning as well. Is the microphone working? Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Sorry, it didn't seem like it was working. But I know today, this weekend is an extended weekend in many respects. A lot of our schools are out for a couple of days on Monday and Tuesday, and we're missing several folks today, and we want to wish everyone well in their travels. We also have several visitors with us, and we want you to know, if you are visiting with us, that we are honored indeed to have you, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us anytime that you have an opportunity. Of course, our young people tonight will be at Greenville for the area wide. We'll be missing them tonight. And so all of you, we hope that you'll come back and be with us tonight for our service at 5 o'clock. I think all of us realize today that baptism plays a central part in Christianity. I believe today that most religious groups that advocate Christianity, and of course I'm speaking right now in general terms, give at least some credence to the importance of baptism. But if you listen to all the teachings out of the religious world about baptism, about what it is, about why it should take place, who should be baptized, the purpose of baptism, there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this particular subject. If it were possible for us to maybe go into some kind of machine, and as we go into that machine, if that machine could just clear our mind of everything we've ever been taught, everything that we've ever heard from anywhere, anything we've ever read about the subject of baptism, if our minds could be completely clear of everything, and if we could just then go to the Bible and take only the Bible and see what it says about this subject, then I think we would find it to be so very clear, so simple, so easy to understand. And so when we think about the subject of baptism today, I know even among young people in the church in many places, there's a lot of confusion about this particular subject. Many people say, well, you know, I believe a man is saved and then he's baptized later on. Or, you know, baptism is a good thing to do. And, you know, if you're going to be a religious person, it's good at some point to be baptized. I think, you know, you need to be baptized to obey God. There's a lot of things out there that people say and people teach about baptism. But I want to emphasize in the beginning of our lesson today that baptism is essential to our salvation. One cannot be saved without being baptized. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." And so the Bible clearly teaches that baptism is the point where an individual comes into contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and those past sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. If one wants to be saved, he must be baptized. Baptism is also essential if one wants to be a member of the Lord's church. The church is the body of Christ. There is one body, and that body is the church. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 and Ephesians 1 and verse 27. We know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, the church. The Bible says, for by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And also we need to realize that baptism is to be a parallel to what Jesus Christ did for us. Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4 talks about how that we've been baptized into His death. And therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. Baptism is likewise a burial in water. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. We are too, in a symbolic way, to be buried with our Lord in baptism. Jesus Christ also arose victoriously from the grave. And we too, in that act of baptism, rise from that watery grave, forgiven of every sin we've ever committed. Baptism is that point where we are changed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, we get into Christ by being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Therefore, all things are made new. The old has been now put away. And then let me stress the fact that baptism is for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, I know today in our world, the world says, you know, if an individual serves mankind well, if he's honest in his dealings with man and he's a good father or a good mother or a good husband, a good wife, one that has good morals, that, you know, that individual just is going to be able to go to heaven when this life is over. But you see, all of us are lost in sin. We are without God and without hope in this world until we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. And baptism is the point where our sins are forgiven. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, I say all this morning in the very outset of our lesson without trying to go into too much detail. You know, baptism is not for everyone. Not everyone ought to be baptized. Babies, for example, should not be baptized. Babies are pure. Babies are sinless. They're innocent. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. A baby cannot even do those things that the Lord said one must do in order to be saved. A baby cannot believe. A baby cannot repent of sins. A baby has no sins to repent of. Also, children that are not yet accountable should not be baptized. Now, there's going to be that time when all children will grow from innocency to accountability. That's going to be at varying ages. Generally, girls reach maturity faster than boys. But there is that time when each child will reach that age of accountability. And I might make this observation as well. I think one of the problems that is facing the church today in many respects is children that perhaps are making the decision to be baptized far too soon, before they reach the maturity to realize the commitment they're making. And I think that can be a problem for a number of reasons. Number one, you know, if an individual is really too young when he obeys the gospel, The older he gets, he's going to become more confused. He's going to begin to question if he really understood and knew what he was doing. And one or two things generally take place. Either that individual will decide to make his calling and election sure, as I've seen many people do. I want to go ahead and be baptized again. We call it, I guess, rebaptism, because I want to make sure that I did things for the right reason. But some people, and I'm afraid a growing number of people, as they mature and they deal with this confusion in their lives, they deal with the idea of wondering if they really understood what they were doing. In this confusion, they reach out for something to fill that void. And they begin to go to other places and try to find that through emotional religion. They'll even leave the church many times to try to fill that need by getting those felt needs to be satisfied in whatever means possible. And so children who have yet to reach the age of accountability are not the subject of baptism. Neither is a sinner that will not believe. If one's not going to believe in Jesus, baptism will do one no good at all. Also, a sinner that will not repent should not be baptized. If one's not willing to change, if one is not willing to turn away from his old sins, he should not be baptized. Peter said, "You repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." Now, I realize that there's a time when people are not ready to be baptized. And there's a time when people are, in fact, ready to be baptized. Over in Acts chapter 2, we read about Peter on the day of Pentecost, and he convicted those people of crucifying and killing the Son of God. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them what to do. He said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins." And the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Or you remember Acts chapter 8. We remember fondly the story of the eunuch and how Philip came to him and preached unto him Jesus. The Bible says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Or in Acts chapter 16, we read the account of where Paul and Silas were in prison at Philippi. And we know all that transpired there and how that the jailer came to them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Bible says they spake unto him the word of the Lord. The Bible says the jailer took them the same hour of the night. He was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, the question that I want us to deal with, and I think this is of particular importance to those here who may be contemplating baptism. There's certainly young people here who are approaching that age. I think this is something that is also vitally important for us to understand as parents and grandparents, to be able to encourage our children and grandchildren to make this important decision when the time is to come. And so, when should one be baptized? When is the time that an individual ought to make this all-important decision? Well, may I suggest to you that some are not ready. And there's some reasons why some may not be ready to be baptized. You know, one is not ready to be baptized if they're waiting till they have a good knowledge of the Bible. I talked with a woman one time, and she said, "You know, when I understand the book of Revelation completely, I'll be baptized." I told her, "Ma'am, that's never going to happen. You know, you might think about a history book, an Alabama history book. You know, in that history book, you can find everything that you want to find about the state of Alabama. But if I want to go and find the part that talks about Montgomery, Alabama, for example, I just turn into the part of the history book that tells me what I need to know about Montgomery. And the same thing is true when it comes to obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian. I don't have to know everything the Bible says. I just need to turn to the part of the Bible that tells me what I need to do in order to be saved. But if you're waiting until you have a complete knowledge of the Bible, you're not ready. Or maybe one is waiting until they get their life back on track. Somebody says, I've got so many things wrong in my life right now. I'm doing things that I shouldn't do. I'm involved in things I shouldn't be involved in. And if I can get all that straightened out, then I'll become a Christian. That's not going to happen either. You've got to turn away from that past life and give your life to the Lord, obey the gospel, become a Christian. Only then can you know the joys of being right with God. Or somebody says, well, you know, I'm going to wait until it gets easier. You know, life is rough. It's difficult to do what's right. And when it gets easier down the road, I'll become a Christian. Well, folks, it's never going to be convenient to obey the gospel. The devil's always going to see to that. It's never going to be easy to make that decision. Somebody may say, well, I'm going to wait until it's not going to cost me anything. I may have to give up some things, and I'm not sure about the cost of becoming a Christian. I'm just going to put it off for a while until it doesn't cost me. Or maybe I'm going to wait until a time when nobody's really urging me. You know, people are kind of on my case about this from time to time. And when people kind of lay off of me just a little bit, then I'll go ahead and make that decision on my own. After all, I want it to be my decision. I don't want it to be somebody else. So when that kind of dies down a little bit, then I'll make that decision. Or somebody else may say, well, I'm going to wait until I can live the Christian life without falter. Now, folks, you can't live the Christian life without becoming a Christian. And we need to understand that. The time to obey the gospel is now, if that's your need. Only then can you begin truly walking with God in your life. And so there are times when a person is not ready. On the other hand, when is one ready to obey the gospel? When should I make that decision? Well, I'm ready to obey the gospel. I'm ready to be baptized when I know I am in sin. Now, we've talked about already today how that baptism is for the purpose of washing away our sins. Remember what Ananias told Paul in Acts 22 and verse 16? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And there's a real need here because sin is something that separates us from God. Isaiah said in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, that your iniquities have separated between you and God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. James said that sin brings death, James 1 and verse 15. And of course, we know Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death, eternal death, spiritual death. So is there sin in your life? Do you know enough to violate the Word of God? Do you know sin? Do you realize that there's sin in your life? Do I know that I'm ready to obey the gospel? You know, if I'm ready to obey the gospel, I also need to understand Jesus Christ. Of course, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But there's a lot more really involved in that than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. What do I need to believe about him? Well, I need to believe that he was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was born of a woman who had never had sexual relationships with any man. And for me to be mature enough to obey the gospel, I think I need to understand that concept and what that involves. I need to understand that Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life, that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he never sinned. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. I need to realize and understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, the Bible says over in Romans 1 and verse 4. And I need to understand that Jesus died not only for the sins of the world, but he died for my sins, as Paul said, according to the Scriptures. And I need to believe that Jesus was victorious from the grave, that Jesus overcame death, and that his death is proof that I too will one day come forth from the grave. And then not only do I need to understand Jesus if I'm ready to be baptized, I think I need to understand exactly what I need to do in order to be saved. Now, if you come tonight to our service at 5 o'clock and we have these front four or five pews packed with kids, they'll sing the salvation song. You know, they can do it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized in the water. Rise up. I forgot already, see? So they understand that. Kids understand what to do. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I could recite the plan of salvation, but even though I knew the facts, I did not understand. And so there's a difference between knowing what to do and why one is doing something. But what we have to do is very important. We've already talked about how we need to have belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. We need to be willing to repent of our sins. That is, I'm giving my life to God. I'm turning away from all those things in the past that may be amiss in my life. I'm doing away with that past life, and I'm going to live for the Lord. That's a change of mind that's demonstrated by a change of life. That is repentance. I'm willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then I'm willing to be baptized in water, immersed, buried with the Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of my sins. But as I said, I also need to understand why I need to do these things. I need to have the maturity to be able to grasp why these things are so important. I need to realize that I must do these things because I am lost. I am lost right now in the situation that I'm in. And if I continue in this situation, I'm going to be lost eternally. And that's something that certainly we need to avoid. We can't go to heaven in our sins. And if we can't go to heaven, the only alternative is eternal destruction. And so I need to understand that I am to be baptized because I am lost. And I need forgiveness of my sins. And I need to be baptized if I know I'm in danger. If I realize the urgency of obeying the gospel. Do you realize that you're lost? Do you realize the urgency of obeying the gospel in your life? Suppose you had a physical ailment of some kind and you went to the doctor, and the doctor explained to you, listen, if you don't have this particular procedure done immediately, you're probably going to die. What would you do? Would you wait for the doctor to call for an appointment to set it up in the next week or two? You would want it taken care of now. You would realize how urgent it was for your physical well-being. Now, if you're ready to obey the gospel, you realize that if you put it off, you're in danger. Why not put it off until maybe today or next week or maybe next month, or, you know, we might wait a year or who knows. When should I be baptized? When should I be baptized? Do I need to do it right now? Is it urgent? Do you realize that Christ could come at any time? Jesus said, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. And you could die even today. You have no hope of tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And so if I realize that I'm in danger, that I'm lost because of my sin, I can't put it off. I can't delay in doing what I know I need to do. Because if I put it off, then I'm placing my soul in eternal jeopardy. And then may I suggest that one is ready to be baptized when they can't be talked out of it. When I'm talking to a younger person about being baptized, I guess I shouldn't say this because you'll know what I'm doing now, but I always ask this particular young person, you know, would you mind if we waited for a little while, maybe next week we could do this? It might be better for you and the family if we could just wait about this and maybe think about it just a little bit more. Now, if an individual is truly ready to be baptized, they know they're lost, they know they're in danger, there is no way in the world you'll be able to talk them out of it. They'll know they need to do it. They will not even want to go to bed at night knowing that they're lost. They'll want to obey the gospel immediately because they realize they're in danger. Now, folks, baptism is a simple subject when we just take the Bible and only the Bible and see what it says about salvation. And I urge each one of you to study your Bible, to look at what the Bible says that baptism is and what it accomplishes, the purpose of baptism, how it's to be administered. Take the Bible and avoid the confusion of what you hear round about you. Are you ready to be baptized? Are you truly ready? Well, are you in sin? Are you lost? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sins? More importantly, are you ready and do you have the maturity to commit your life to God and realize that you have to live for Him and you have responsibilities to fulfill now to the Lord, that He is to be your number one priority? If not, why not? And if it's not going to be today or even tomorrow, when is it going to be? It's something that you need to think about. It's something that you need to consider. It's something you need to be willing to talk about. Why not now? That's the question of the hour. While together we stand and sing.
My God, take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord,